Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. All smiles. Got your gardens in. Bluebirds singing in the fields, dear. Isn't it great this January afternoon? Yeah. Welcome back to Pam. Where's Pam? Pam, where are you? Back row. I hate to tell you guys in the back row, only people with serious problems sit in the back row. I spread that around enough, and then the latecomers, when they come, they don't have to march way up front, you know, so you could leave a seat back there. That's good. Welcome home, Dick. Welcome home, Pam. Every week, few drip in and come with their tans and their smiles, and isn't it nice? Yeah. We moan and groan about our long winter. But when I think about the problems that they had in Boston this week, I think about the problems they had down in West Texas, when I think about the earth shaking in China and hundreds dead and thousands of homes destroyed, no, our long winter doesn't seem so bad. And what keeps me going, and I hope keeps you going, is the warmth of the people around us and the fellowship and the friends that we have. And so let's not mope too long on the snow, because we're pretty fortunate when all is said and done. Next week we'll hear some stories on Sunday. There's only going to be one worship service at 9 o'clock. The adult and teen challenge will be here. And talk about everybody's got a story, but you're going to hear stories there about how adult and teen challenge has, by sharing love and caring for one another, has saved people's lives. So I hope you join us for that. There's going to be a dinner afterwards, or a brunch afterwards, and there's a sign-up sheet for a few things you can bring if you're going to be here. Make sure and look at that and see where you can help out. That's next Sunday. Two Sundays from now, we have our synod gathering up in Grand Rapids, and Patty and Merrill Honnell are our delegates, so they'll come back with a report as to what happens in northeast Minnesota with all the Lutheran churches there. Other than that, I think, today we celebrate new members, and we'll take time this morning and invite those new members to install them, so you can see who's joining and attach some names with some faces. It's always a special Sunday for us here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, you are our God, you are our shepherd. You love us, and you care for us, you provide for us. And so we gather on a Sunday morning to say thank you, to draw close to you, to pray, and to listen. And so send your Spirit as we gather around your holy table, and fill us with hope and joy and love, so that we can leave these halls and be your people in the world. Send your Spirit now, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, 789. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn in your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us join in our confession. We confess our lack of peace. We are unsettled for comparing. Our emotions drift from one point to another, keeping us on edge. We try to structure our world for maximum protection. Yet we find our fortress of self-sufficiency penetrated daily. God, we need to find your peace. We want to know your love us, and our sin is forgiven. We want to stretch out and rest in your loving arms. Forgive the distance we have placed between us. God is a great God. God has forgiven our sin. With love, God brings the gifts of peace, patience, and kindness. God's love is the motivation for our love, and we can never be the same. God's peace becomes ours as we give more of ourselves. We can live confidently, knowing that our strength is in Christ, and the pressure of our life has been relieved through God's kindness. Jesus' death and resurrection has set us free to know real peace.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will. And work among us all that is well-pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Applause to a wonderful song. Thanks. Nice having you back, Darwin. Yeah. I'd like to invite our new members to come forward at this time to take a moment from our congregation. This is always a special day for me because we get to receive fellow sojourners here on earth. And people who want to say their prayers and be God's hands in the world to us. Nice to have you, really. Special joy. You're joining a wonderful congregation, by the way. And sometimes you wonder, you know, what kind of cult people are getting involved in. You're going to find out. We've asked you to come forward at this time, not to stand as before an audience, but for a moment to take a central place in the midst of our congregation of which you're becoming a part. This is our way of celebrating your official uniting with us as fellow servants of Christ and co-members of Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo. Further, you are in our midst that all of us may have an opportunity to associate your names with your faces. As we begin to include you in the development of our interpersonal relationships within this congregation. It's in our relationships with one another, as well as our shared faith, worship, and study, that the life of this people of God is built. If we're going to be the body of Christ in this place, it's highly important that we cultivate the real knowing of one another, so that we can together share and support and strengthen and celebrate and rejoice our life together. Each of you has confessed your acceptance of your belief in the triune God. You're coming to us, some of you, on the recommendation of sister congregations. Therefore, what remains is for us to accept you and for you to become a real part of us. This is just mutual. Acceptance is just a ceremony, and it's not going to be real, and we're not going to genuinely be the church together. So I'd like to outline some of the covenant with which we are now entering. We have expectations of you. You have expectations of us as a church, as a body of Christ. We expect that in every way you'll strive to become more and more a responsive, responsible member of Bethesda Church as you daily strive to become a more acceptable child of God. This means that we expect to find you at worship and at the Lord's table with us regularly and frequently, that you will avail yourself of certain of our educational programs, that you'll be open to involvement in our sermon forms of ministry in and beyond the congregation, that you'll assume a leadership responsibility when possible, you'll set aside a responsible portion of your income for the financial support of our ministry in and beyond Malmo. And what you may expect of us, your fellow members, is that we will provide you with every feasible opportunity for spiritual, personal, and social growth. To facilitate this, we will share with you all of our congregational resources, material, human, and divine. In your times of decision and stress, you may expect us to be with you by your side. You may expect us to want to be with you in your times of celebration and joy. From your clergy, you may expect sincere preaching, informed teaching, and always his willingness to listen and share himself with you. What we give you as our fellow members is our trust, and we expect yours in return. Understanding what's the content of the covenant which we seal together with your becoming members, do you accept our invitation to membership and all its implications? If so, please answer yes with the help of God and my fellow members. And you, the continuing members of Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo,
We've now been reminded of your responsibilities. Do you accept these persons as your fellow members? If so, say, we do with joy.
We do with joy.
Sounds like you're in. Upon these mutual understandings, then, you're now full members or associate members with us, and we look forward to your being a blessing among us. So, welcome, Melody. Welcome, Linda. Welcome. Yeah, neat.
The reading today comes from Acts 9, 36 through 43. Dorcas was a faithful and devoted woman of charity in the community of Joppa. Her kindness and her work with clothing was well known, especially to the widows in town. When she fell ill and died, Peter raised her back to life through the power of prayer. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Today's psalm is Psalm 23. Please respond in the bold print and repeat the refrain at the bold R, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this fourth Sunday of Easter is found in the 10th chapter of St. John. Jesus responds to questions about his identity with the remarkable claim that he and the Father are one. Those who understand this are his sheep. They hear his voice, follow, and will never be snatched from his hand. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 781. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week I was listening to the radio and had NPR on. They were interviewing a friend of mine from Pelican Rapids who raises sheep. Joni Ellison and her husband Dave have raised sheep for years. And she said that they used to be 5 sheep farmers, and now it's down to the last one. They asked Joni if there had been anything special happening as the sheep are lambing now. She said, well, one of her sheep gave birth to triplets. And those triplets, the mother had died in childbirth, which was a terrible tragedy, but those triplets were following her around wherever she went. Those triplets followed her around, and they asked, well, did you give them names because they become so friendly to you? She said, yeah, I gave them names. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I laughed, and that's just like Joni to share that. Our lessons today and our prayers and our songs have to do with sheep and shepherds. And we heard this morning that God is our shepherd. When you think of animals mentioned in the Bible, sheep is the number one animal that's mentioned. Over 500 times they mention sheep. David, when he's writing the Psalms, in fact, it's attributed to him, he wrote this 23rd Psalm. When he was anointed king as a young boy, he was a little shepherd boy out in the field taking care of sheep. When he grew up, became the greatest king in all of Israel about 1,000 years before Christ. He became a warrior king, and he continued to write about sheep. Last Lent, probably Good Friday, we quoted Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah writing about 500 years B.C., huh? How did he know about us back then? All we like sheep have gone astray. I remember teaching my confirmation class a long time ago about sheep, and Jesus being the shepherd and we're the sheep of his hand and so forth. And one of the kids was offended that I called him a sheep, that he was part of a flock. And I'm no sheep. He says, my neighbor's got sheep, and they're the horniest bunch out there. And so we talked about that a little. And he says, I don't want to just go with the flow and follow all of these animals around, all these people around like animals. He says, I'm smarter than that. He quoted his dad, if your friend jumps off the building, you want to jump off too? I says, oh, so you want to be a maverick, huh? You want to be free-spirited. You want to be an individual and not go along with the herd. He says, yeah, yeah, yeah. I says, that sounds more like a mule to me. Interesting, huh? What does it take to be a good sheep in the flock of Jesus, huh? What does it take to remain with the flock and remain close to the shepherd? What does it take to be a good church member, a member of a congregation? Well, to be a disciple, we belong to a flock, to use this farming language. In a flock, we find safety. At least sheep do. In a flock, they find guidance. They find refreshment. Sometimes you have to correct each other, not get too out of line. So they're brought into the flock again. In a flock, we have a chance to be useful and productive and helpful. So I've been thinking about what's being a good sheep require? How do we know we're in the right the right flock, I mean, remember Sung Myung Moon? Been reading about the last decade, and one of the big pictures in this book was he was doing 200 weddings in one time or something in some big stadium in South Korea. I mean, I can promise you new members that will not happen here. Although it wouldn't hurt to renew our wedding vows sometimes. Why are you smiling, Darwin?
Anyway, what do we need to know as members of Christ's flock? So our lesson from John's Gospel is pretty good to give us direction. It takes place during the festival of dedication in Jerusalem. That's actually the festival we know as Hanukkah, just before Christmas. The Feast of the Lights, it's celebrated 8 days in December. So did you notice the author even talked about it's winter in Jerusalem? People don't understand that they have winter there too. Jesus is in the temple courts walking Solomon's colonnade. And Solomon's colonnade is a long covered walkway on the east side of this huge temple. The temple, I suppose, would be from here to the end of the parking lot. And so he's walking, and there's some inquiring Jews walking behind him, or they come up to him and say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus says, "I did tell you. But you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you don't believe because you're not one of my sheep." And then he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand," Jesus says. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." That's what Jesus tells these guys who are kind of bothering him. So let's look at what Jesus says. First, he says that he knows those followers individually. Huh? That's a beautiful picture about our relationship to God. God knows us individually. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows who you are and what you're like. That's interesting. Christ knows his sheep by name. Christ loves us unconditionally. I mean, loves us no matter what. He loves his sheep. He loves you and me no matter what. Nothing can ever separate us from Christ's love. That's his very nature. He's compelled to love us. Even though we fall short and we sin and we do some goofy stuff sometimes. That's the first thing Jesus says about our relationship with the shepherd. He knows us individually, and he loves us unconditionally. Jesus says the sheep listen to his voice. That's a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. It's not just one-sided. We have the shepherd who loves his flock, but the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. I was reading in the Week magazine a while back about something that happened in Australia. Seems like someone was charged with stealing sheep, but he protested. He said, "No, I own this sheep. I didn't steal them. I just took them back to what was mine." And so the case went to court, and the judge didn't know how to decide the matter. So finally, he asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom. This must have been that might have been up in Aiken, as far as I know. I was thinking it's some backwash country, but maybe we live in the backwash country and we fit right in. Anyway, they ordered the guy who was accused to the man accused of stealing the sheep to step outside and call the animal. And so he went out, and the sheep just made no response except to raise his head and look a little frightened. So then the judge ordered the other guy to go out and holler. And the other guy went out into the courtyard, called the sheep, and it was a distinctive call, and the sheep ran right toward that door and waited at the door. And the judge says, "Case dismissed. We know who the sheep responds to." Let me ask you a question. Is this imagery descriptive of your relationship with Christ? Do you listen to the voice of Christ? It reminds me of something that Fred Rogers said, Mr. Rogers. He said, "Listening is where love begins, listening to ourselves, listening to our neighbors." And he didn't say this, but he's a Methodist pastor. He probably would have added, as well as listening to God. Do you listen to what God is saying? I believe you'll agree that most of us are great talkers when it comes to what we do and what has succeeded in our lives. But when we're saying our prayers, most of us give God orders. and we're not committed to reverently listening to the orders that God has for us. Christ says he knows his sheep, but then he adds, and they listen to my voice. Something for us to think about down the road, huh? Then he says his sheep follow him. I had a chance, well, I've sheared sheep and worked with sheep, but when I studied in Israel, we were outside of Bethlehem one day having a lecture, and there was a shepherd that was driving his sheep, but then he sat down on a big rock and just let them rest and graze for a while, and the professor's going on and on. You remember those days when you had to listen to those lectures? Anyway, long story short, pretty soon the shepherd gets up, says something to the sheep, and he leads, and all the sheep follow. That's totally different in the Mideast than the way it is today. If you go out and work with any shepherds and their flock of sheep, they lead from behind. They'll put a bunch of dogs out there and follow from behind and push the sheep different places. And I thought, you know what, that's a little different than what's described in the Bible. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So he leads from the front, and we follow behind. You can judge whether a person is a disciple of Christ by how well he or she follows Jesus, huh? Many of us want the benefits of belonging to Christ's flock to be known completely and intimately by God without the responsibility of listening to Christ and following him faithfully. We want to know him as our Savior without having him be our master. It's okay if he knows us, but man, I don't know if I want to follow. I don't know if I want to follow someone else. That's like that confirmation kid early on, you know. Jesus is well aware of our weakness as he knows what's going on in your life. He's well aware of our waywardness. And so when he's talking to these Jewish folks in this lesson, he adds a final word of grace. He says, Christ says that no one can snatch the sheep from him. No one can take his sheep from him. In other words, God loves us unconditionally. He will travel with us forever. Nothing in all creation can come between us and our shepherd. There's a story that's told from a long time ago. It took place in the 1850s on the prairies out in South Dakota. There was a circuit rider that came across a little log cabin, and so he stopped in. He found out that there was a young boy in the back bedroom who was basically dying from diphtheria. And so he asked if he could go see the boy. He went in. The little boy's name was Timmy. And the pastor told him, or asked him if he knew the 23rd Psalm. Timmy says, yeah, I learned it when I was in second grade. Can you say it for me? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still pastures. And the pastor said, you know, I think you're saying a little too fast. And so Timmy tried to say it again a little more slowly. And then finally, the pastor decided to teach him how to say the 23rd Psalm in a different way. And he took his hand and he said, use each word and count on your fingers. The Lord is my shepherd. And when he took that ring finger, he said, this is the finger of love. And when you say that, the Lord is my shepherd, know that Jesus is with you, that Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus is protecting you. Jesus will always be with you. And that pleased Timmy, and he recited that psalm, and the pastor said goodbye to Timmy, and when next time he come by, he'll stop and say hello. Well, I suppose it was an April snow day like today, so he didn't get back for another month or two, and when the circuit rider came back, he noticed a mound of dirt in the backyard with a cross there. And he realized that Timmy had passed away, and Timmy's parents, when they sat down, talked about what a good boy Timmy was. And they described that final night to him. They had kissed Timmy goodnight, and in the morning, his mother went to check on him, and she realized that he had died. And but there was something that caught her eye. she noticed that Timmy was holding on to this ring finger. And she asked the pastor what that could mean, and the pastor could only answer with tear-filled eyes, "You and I know what that meant, huh? The Lord is my shepherd." Or as Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me and I are one. My Father is greater than all of this and no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows us by name. That's what our lessons are telling us today. We're to listen to his voice and follow him, knowing that he'll provide for our every need. And nothing will able to separate us from his love. That's his promise to his people, the sheep of his pasture, you and me. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Will the congregation please rise? Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Rejoicing with all the witnesses of the resurrection, let us pray in confidence for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Come to us without delay and help us to hear your voice with clarity. Reveal to us the way to forgiveness, reconciliation, and hope. Lead your church to proclaim your love for all your children. Hear us, O God. Refresh us with springs of water and favorable weather. Ensure equitable access to clean water throughout the world. Make us good stewards of all your resources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Guide those who shape our economies and systems of government so that all have the opportunity to work and share your abundant resources. Grant meaningful and secure employment to those who are unemployed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Be present with those who wander in dark valleys of suffering. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, and console those who live in fear. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Joanne Groth, Barb Forrester, Mel Hammond, and those in our lives who need your healing touch. Hear us, O God. Build up the ministries of this congregation that form and shape the lives of young people. Help us to shepherd and learn from their faith, that we may all trust and receive you with open and generous hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We ask your presence to be with those who are hurting this day, especially those people in Boston who have lost loved ones, those people in West Texas who are trying to recover, our brothers and sisters in Christ in China who are fighting earthquakes. All these terrible things that happen in the world, Lord, send your spirit that they might be comforted. Wipe away the tears of all who mourn. Grant us joy in the memories and witness of those who now dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In resurrection hope, we commend to you all for whom we pray, trusting in the promises of new life through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
And so we gather at God's holy table, his children, sheep of his pasture. We gather as fellow sojourners here on earth. Today we receive new members into the body of Christ. We are reminded we are God's hands in the world. We're called to do his bidding, to be his presence. And so we need his nourishment. At Jesus' last supper, he took bread, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
All are invited to receive the bread and the wine. This morning we'll use intinction, so we will dip the bread. If you'd prefer wine, it's the dark liquid. If you'd prefer grape juice, it's the light. The table is set. Come, eat and drink. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 536. God be with you till we meet again.
Till we meet that Jesus.